The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Triangle Gardener Magazine, Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the Garden Smart e-newsletter, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, and maybe from Great Gardening Gizmos by Rodale. And we will start with Dave's Garden e-newsletter. Topiary has always seemed like a good occupation, comparable in some ways to writing short fiction. And that was said by Kelly Link. What to Plant in Your Fall Vegetable Garden by Shannon Bass. Autumn is here. What could be better than starting a fall vegetable garden? The leaves are just starting to turn colors. The heat has finally started letting up, and many plants and bugs are starting to die down, especially those pesky weed pests. The grills are being fired up even more now that there's a slight, comfortable chill in the air, and people are starting to come out of their air-conditioned homes in the cooler evenings to enjoy the weather. In some growing zones, September is too late to start any kind of planting other than what winter's over. But in zones 5 and up, now is the perfect time to start those cool weather plants that grow quickly. Here is a list of the best vegetables to get growing in a fall garden, and a few tips and tricks to help get the most out of your plants. Leafy greens are perfect for a fall garden. They are already quick-growing plants, but they grow even better in the cooler weather that comes with the autumn season. All of these listed can be directly sown in the soil. One really good thing about them is they grow well in containers, so you can bring them in if it does get too cold. You could also cut the outer leaves on the plants and they will grow more to replace them. This is advisable on the warmer days to prevent bolting. Baby spinach takes as little as 4 to 6 weeks to be ready. Mature leaves are usually ready between 6 to 8 weeks. Loose leaf lettuce leaves are usually ready to cut in 30 days or so. Baby kale and mustard greens can be harvested in around 25 days. And the more mature leaves are usually ready in 50 to 65 days. Swiss chard is harvestable as early as 30 to 35 days, with baby leaves being ready sooner. They can handle frost much better than other leafy greens, and some varieties can even winter over and grow back for several years, especially when there is no hard freeze. Yellow squash and zucchini usually have edibles in as little as 50 days, especially if they receive plenty of water and sun. They might not get as big as when planted in the spring, but they have more flavor when eaten small. These little beauties cannot handle frost, though, so if you want to keep them growing, you might want to use row covers on colder nights. Broccoli takes about 45 to 60 days to mature, depending on the variety, and are perfect for the cooler weather. They can actually handle some frost and keep going. It's better to have started seeds a couple of weeks prior to summer ending, but that should not stop you from planting now. They will still grow, but they may not be as large as summer pickings. Spring radishes are ready in 20 to 25 days. They are one of the fastest growing vegetables there is. Directly sow their seeds into the ground. In 2.5 weeks, start pushing on the soil and see if there is a bulb. Carrots are great cold weather vegetables. Baby carrot varieties can be harvested after about 30 to 35 days, while other varieties take up to 50 or more. Fall carrots tend to be sweeter, possibly due to the already warm soil versus in the spring when the soil is cold. They can grow throughout the winter, just mulch to protect them from frost. More tips and tricks. Most of these plants do not handle droughts well. If your area is experiencing a dry season, make sure to keep the plants watered. A soaker hose or sprinkler is fine, but you can also just water them manually if needed. It is always best to water in the mornings or early afternoons. Check with your local forecast and other sources, such as the Almanac, to learn what your first expected frost date is. Make sure to plant far enough ahead of that date that your plants will be ready for harvest beforehand. In many cases, if they are not ready, you can cover them overnight to protect them from frost. Mulch your plants. Good mulch can help protect plants from freezing a little longer. Be wary, though, as not all of the bugs have gone away. Slugs and other pests may use the mulch to hide under during the day. Set out beer traps or iron phosphate baits to protect your plants. There are many other plants that can be planted in a fall garden. It all depends on your growing zone and the dates of first frosts. The later your first frost, the more options you have available. Two websites can help you check your frost dates. USDA Plant Hardiness Zones and the Old Farmer's Almanac. Both sites have some great information on seasonal growing, when to grow, how to grow, and where to grow. And now from the Garden Smart e-newsletter, Quick Fall Crops by Park Seed. As summer starts to turn into fall, you may be looking for some quick fall crops to plant while waiting on the rest of your fall harvest to come. Luckily, Park Seed offers a variety of fall crops that grow just in time for your dinner table. You can have a beautiful harvest of carrots, spinach, beets, kale, and radishes in just under 60 days. Our mini Adelaide hybrid carrot seeds are ready in 50 days and are the perfect size for containers. One of our heirloom favorites, the organic hybrid spinach seeds, are ready in just 46 days. They are cut and come again, which will come back bigger and longer lasting than before. The beautiful colors of our rainbow mix beet seeds make gardening really fun. Not only are they a Parks Select, but they are ready in only 55 days. These five superb globe varieties have their own distinct flavor and will even tolerate a bit of frost without damage. Kale is such a versatile vegetable, making it easy to throw into salads, stir fry, or even make kale chips. In 60 days, you can have these curly leaves that are packed with great taste and nutrition. These are perfect for southern and southwestern gardens. Having a disease-resistant crop not only means great things for you, but also great things for your garden. You can have big crops every harvest. Our mini romaine blend lettuce seeds are resistant to downy mildew, tomato bushy stunt virus, and lettuce mosaic virus. You can have this great blend on your table in 45 days. Our Parks Beauty Blend radish seeds have to be the fastest growing veggie on the block. It's ready to go in just 32 days and tastes delicious. These radishes grow in a colorful bunch with a crisp bite. looking for a big, spicy leaf. Our southern giant curled mustard greens have an authentic mustard green bite and have big yields of spicy leaves. This is an open-pollinated variety and will never disappoint in the kitchen. These quick fall crop vegetables are delicious, nutritious, and super easy. Growing fall crops are so fun and can be a creative change with a new season. You can dress up your veggie beds with some great fall flowers as well. Kale pairs perfectly with pansies, lettuces with violas, and mustard greens with snapdragons. And next, Flashy and Easy Calathea by Karen Weir Jimerson. Add a little exotic color to your indoor decor with the daring stripy leaves of Calathea. This flashy houseplant is a little like a Rorschach test. Look deeply into the bold, splashy patterns of its large leaves, and you'll see an endless array of interesting shapes. The leaves are dotted and dashed with pink, green, and white, making them an eye-catching way to add interest to any room. And here's a surprise, depending on the species. The underside of the leaves are totally maroon or purple. This South and Central American native bears some of the prettiest leaves of any houseplant, so it is ideal for indoor plant lovers who are looking for something different. Calathea is sold in garden centers by descriptive common names such as rattlesnake plant and peacock plant, thanks to its range of showy foliage. Plants are ideal for tabletops. Calathea grows slowly and, depending on the species, will reach 3 feet tall. Calathea care. Caring for Calathea is easy. Grow plants in medium to low light. This beautiful tropical does not like much sun on its leaves, so shield it from direct light to prevent sunburn. Water Calathea enough to keep the soil moist, but not wet or saturated. This is not a drought-tolerant houseplant, so take care to keep it hydrated. Extended periods of dryness will turn the tips or edges of the leaves brown. If you have not tried Calathea, give it a whirl. As if the Rorschach test leaves prove, it is always a good day to add a little flash of color and pattern to your indoor decor. Next, from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter. Tickle the earth with a hoe, it will laugh a harvest. And here are some October tips by William Moss. 1. Plant spring-blooming perennials with your spring bulbs. Many people forget about spring blooms until the season has arrived. When purchasing spring bulbs, buy spring perennials to complement the show, such as hellebores, blue stars, iris, bleeding hearts, and poppies. This type of interplanting makes every hole you dig do double duty. 2. Shred fallen leaves with a lawnmower and add them to the garden as a compost or a mulch. Shredding the leaves helps them break down faster and releases many of the nutrients in time for spring growth. And 3. Visit apple orchards. They usually have great deals on baskets of apples for cider, pies, fritters, baked apple pancakes, and other tasty treats. Many places allow you to pick your own. This is a fun family outing and a good chance for kids to learn about farming and where food comes from. And now, from the Triangle Gardener magazine, Adventures with Daffodils by Dale Batchelor. In her authoritative book on gardening with bulbs, Louise Beebe Wilder cautions us to never reach a state of serene content with one's knowledge, for that is the point where adventure ends and stagnation begins. Reading Mrs. Wilder's admonition helped me realize I had grown complacent with the daffodils in my garden. One fall, after planting a half bushel of a naturalizing mix selected by a bulb nursery and adding one species narcissus, I had daffodils in a variety of forms blooming from January until April. Alongside iconic yellow and white trumpets, I grew old-fashioned doubles that hardly look like daffodils at all, such as Cheerfulness and Rip Van Winkle. I also added miniatures, including Howera and Minnow. Daffodils are grouped into 13 divisions according to heredity and form. I was growing examples from most of the divisions, but I had only begun to explore the hundreds of narcissus species and more than 25,000 registered cultivars recognized by the American Daffodil Society. Daffodil season in our garden begins by late January with the Lent lilies. This species, native to England and parts of Europe, is given credit for inspiring Wordsworth's poem. Our bulbs came from an abandoned home site in Alabama, where they had thrived unattended for more than a century, long surviving the cabin they once surrounded. This year, I plan to push our season back to December by adding the white hoop petticoat daffodil. This dwarf species features grass-like foliage and a flower that matches its common name. Last spring was my first growing another dwarf species in Wilcombe. I was so charmed by its teeny tiny flowers that I found it difficult to look away. Despite their delicate appearance, this native of Spain and Portugal thrives in the hottest and driest of spots. We're fortunate that Triangle Gardens are hospitable to most members of the 13 daffodil divisions. However, Southern bulb expert Scott Ogden does not recommend Division 1 trumpets for our climate. He cites King Alfred as a widely available variety better suited to northern gardens. Jonquilla is the division most associated with southern gardens. Members of this group are less reliant on winter chill and more tolerant of our wet winters and heavy clay soils. Southerners like myself grew up hearing jonquil rather than daffodil as the common name for narcissus. Jonquils are worth growing for their fragrance, but they also add a great deal of visual interest to the spring garden. The petals of sweetness are so perfect they appear to be chiseled. While Sweet Smiles has a cup that matures from cream to pink, Sailboat is a truly southern jonquil developed in Virginia by Bill Peniel and features creamy white recurved petals. Poeticus daffodils have been a challenge to establish in our garden. Experimentation with several varieties and locations has produced one successful clump. It is located in fairly rich and moist soil and gets morning sun with afternoon shade. This group and the pheasant's eye species have striking red-rimmed cups and a spicy scent that makes them well worth some extra effort. Daffodils generally require little from gardeners except proper planting. September is the perfect month for choosing varieties, but planting should be postponed until after the first frost. The second and third weeks of November are my favorite time to plant daffodils. When the days start growing short, I need a reminder that spring is on the way. Daffodil culture. Daffodils are relatively inexpensive, making them perfect for both novice and adventuresome gardeners. The bulbs are toxic, so rodents do not eat them, and the flowers are unappealing to deer. Bulbs should be planted at a depth 3 times their height. Compost and or an organic bulb fertilizer can be added to the planting hole. Daffodils do not require lifting and dividing unless they become overcrowded and begin to lose vigor. Daffodils perform best with at least a half day of direct sun. They can be used to plant under deciduous trees whose leaves emerge as the bulbs go dormant. While daffodils are drought tolerant and adaptable to a variety of soils, they do not thrive in wet, poorly draining areas. Daffodil foliage should not be removed until it dies back completely. Gardeners who are bothered by the senescent leaves can interplant them with other perennials, such as hostas or daylilies, whose emerging leaves will cover the daffodils. There are several websites with extensive information about daffodils. The American Daffodil Society includes information on the 13 divisions, and DaffSeq is a daffodil database with searchable photos. Some favorite daffodils to try: blooms early, avalanche, incantabricus, tete-a-tete, February gold. Blooms early to mid, ice follies, jet fire, Rip Van Winkle, sweetness. Blooms mid-season, minnow, in Wilcomii. Blooms mid to late, Actia, Hawera, sailboat, sweet smiles, and blooms late, cheerfulness, and Tahiti. And an event coming up: the Red House Open Garden, October the 6th through the 7th, Saturday, 9 a.m. through 4 p.m., and on Sunday, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., with art vendors. It's free, and this happens at 606 East Vance Street in downtown Fuquay Varina. And now, some great gardening gizmos by Rodale. A tree trunk walkway. If you have some large logs on hand from cutting down a tree, you can turn them into organic stepping stones. Slice the logs into 6-inch thick discs with a chainsaw and lay them in place to add a handsome rustic touch to your landscape. And a garden rain drum. I saw an incredible Tibetan rain drum in a catalog, but it cost more than $200, and I just couldn't justify it in my budget, says Linda Harris of Fulton, Kentucky. So I made my own, really simply. Although it does not have the exotic appearance, it does amplify the sound of rain, and that is very soothing, adds Harris. To make yours, take a 1 gallon or 10 gallon galvanized metal bucket or even a galvanized wash tub and set it upside down. Press outward any indentations that may be in the bottom. Hammer one of the edges or lips down 1 to 2 inches long to make an escape route for the excess water to run off. Set your rain drum on a deck for best acoustic effect where there are no branches overhanging and enjoy the sound of raindrops while it rains. When it's sunny, use the bucket for other purposes and a cup of deer repellent. After having too many antlered visitors at his orchard, Gerald Deal of Deal's Orchard in Jefferson, Iowa, concocted this deterrent from simple materials. He asked his barber to save him a bag or two of human hair. Then he wrapped a fistful of human hair into a square of nylon netting and tied it into a bundle with a string. To protect the hair from rain, which can wash away the human smell and make the deterrent ineffective, he poked a hole in the bottom of a 12-ounce plastic foam cup. He placed the bundle in the cup, pulled the string through the hole, and tied it into a loop. Deal hangs one cup per tree and replaces the cup each year. He says this tricks deer for about 3 years before they catch on, and he has to find another clever way of keeping them out of his orchard. The deer-repelling scent of human hair lasts longer when sheltered from weather by a cup. A portable potting bench. Remove the padded cover from an old ironing board and set it up wherever you want to work. Barbara Ashman, the author of Garden Retreats, loves the fact that the surface is smooth and the whole thing can be folded and stored just about anywhere. And turn clear plastic clamshell containers, the kind you get salads in at delis, into mini greenhouses for starting seeds. Just wash out the container, add your favorite seed starting mix, and plant your seeds. Open the container as needed to vent or water. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.